So it occurred to me after the talk that I gave last time that I had a few extra things that I wanted to say, or that I thought might be helpful to say. This is all the origin of this kind of series of talks. These two talks was a talk I gave in Montana this summer, and it was pretty well condensed at that talk. And it occurred to me in thinking about it afterwards that there were some things I could expand about it. And so started with the expansion last time. And so now you get part two. I think when this, for those who are interested in titling things, this talk will be called Being Content with Nothing. Last spring, I was talking to someone who, in a bit of distress, was communicating the idea that they felt like they didn't really have a place in the world. And I can sympathize with this. It's a common kind of thread. And so, in a way, this will also be a talk about clarifying your purpose, clarifying my purpose, and finding a place in the world. Now, you might think, you might look at me and you think, oh, well, he's a monk. He's got his place. He does all those things. He's always scurrying around doing things for people. He's got his purpose. But it's not that simple, as I'm sure most of you know. It's just not that simple. And in a sense, while I have many skills and can do many things, the most valuable thing to me is this place that we discover in doing meditation where we can be content with nothing, where we can be content to be nobody. And this is the place that we are. This is the place that we should be. This is our purpose. This is my purpose. I have this idea that maybe this will be helpful to other people, that other people will be able to relate to this and make use of it. But in truth, I don't really know, I really have no idea what any of you, what the purpose of any of your lives are. I don't have any idea. I mean, you know, kind of personally. So I'm not trying to advocate any particular form or advocate any particular action. I'm not trying to say you should be a fireman or a cook or a doctor or a lawyer. I'm not trying to say any of that. I'm not trying to say you should be any particular size, shape, or color. Simply, for me, there is a place that we can find in meditation where none of these things matter. Now, going to that place is not for the faint of heart, because it requires just sitting still with what is. Sometimes the form of our life is not terribly pleasant. Sometimes what we're going through, what's arising in our bodies and minds, is not terribly pleasant. Sometimes it's downright unpleasant. And yet, even in the midst of that, without changing that, without making it any different than it is, our purpose can be there. Now, in Buddhism, there are a whole bunch of different things going on. There's a whole bunch of different practices. There's a whole bunch of different things that we can emphasize. There's a whole bunch of different forms that we can make use of. These are all excellent, very good. The particular practice that I am talking about today is doing zazen, is doing meditation, is doing, what Reverend Master Jiyu called eternal meditation. And that meditation could be described as letting go of everything. There's a nice, I really love this little work by Kazon called Instructions on How to Do Pure Meditation. And he opens it up with a nice, just pretty much sums it up in the first sentence. Pure meditation opens us so that we may directly realize the foundation of our minds and dwell content within our own Buddha nature. Now, I've never been one to, really kind of know what they're talking about when I read the scriptures. I read the scriptures and I think, what does that really mean in terms of me, in terms of my particular life? And oftentimes I don't have any idea, honestly, what it means or what they mean by what they're saying. When I started out as a young man being interested in meditation, I thought, okay, there is something in here. There's Buddha nature in here. I want to find that and give expression to it. And I had some ideas about what that might be like. And it's probably a good thing that I had ideas about what it might be like, because otherwise I probably wouldn't have started. It's useful. But it... And so in a sense, I decided at that point, this will be the purpose of my life. This is what I will attempt to do. I will try to find Buddha nature and give expression to it in my life. And that was a deliberate act. It was a deliberate decision. I decided that would be what I would do. And I have not regretted it. As I say, in spite of all of the different skills and whatnot that I have, the most valuable thing to me is the practice of meditation. And what's happened over time by being dedicated to practicing meditation and by being dedicated to allowing it to affect my life, I have come to recognize that it is, in fact, the purpose of my life. Not because I decided it would be, but because this is where I find contentment. This is where I find peace. This is where I feel the connection to my life. This is where I feel my purpose. There's a nice line from a Hopkins poem: "What I do is me, for that I came." And in a sense, we are also externally oriented, also looking outside of ourselves, that we neglect to recognize that our very life, this very life, I mean, most of the time I kind of am thinking, oh God, Reverend Leon, what an idiot you are. This is how it looks from inside of me. You probably don't want to spend very much time in there yourselves, but I just kind of share that about myself. So this is how I kind of think of myself, but in this place of meditation, that is still there. It doesn't really go away. But there's a recognition, oh, this is my place. This is my purpose. There's a smile there, which doesn't really change, regardless of what's going on outside. And by outside, I mean between that place and my eyes. What I do is me. For that I came. Now, I'm also pretty, kind of my basic thing is greed. My basic kind of problem in life is greed. Don't get me wrong, I've got plenty of delusion and anger too, but, you know, the basic, the place where I find myself getting into trouble is around greed, wanting things. And this is why I think the practice of being content with nothing is so valuable to me. It's kind of one step up from meditation. It's a recognition of myself saying, okay, you're a pretty greedy guy, so this is how we're going to train ourselves. This is how I'm going to train myself. Whenever I see wanting arising, and oftentimes it's several steps on down the road, I think, oh, there I go. Let that go. It's not really what I need. I'm going to be content with nothing. I'm going to be content to be nobody. Kind of the, I don't know if this is true or not, but sort of the people that I associated with when I was a young person, the school that I went to, the orientation wasn't around making money. It was around in fame in a certain respect, you know, getting acknowledgement, getting the recognition from others. And that kind of thing, particularly like in the academic realm, is seen to be sort of okay. You are pursuing excellence, and one of the byproducts of excellence is confirmation from others. And so it's kind of okay, right? You know, because it's excellence. But there's still a fair bit of suffering in there. It's still wanting. It's still grasping after. And whenever I've noticed for myself, whenever I am grasping after something, I have, in a sense, turned my back on that place in me, that smile in me, where I'm content with nothing. So as I say, when I notice wanting arising, for whatever it is, I think, okay, this is what I've set myself to. I'm going to work on letting this go. I'm going to work on being content with nothing. Now, I thought to myself when I was kind of preparing for this talk, I thought I should probably give a disclaimer so that what I'm talking about is somewhat close to home, so it's possible that I might give expression to bitterness or complaint. And bitterness and complaint about the conditions of my life are, to me, a little sign. I'm really not content with nothing because I'm complaining about most of the time not getting what I want, to be quite honest with you. So I thought, okay, I'll give this disclaimer. If you detect, since I'm talking about things that are a little close to home, if you detect bitterness or complaint in me, please bear with me. Have compassion. Offer me a little merit. I'm working on it. And that's the nature of things. Now, the interesting thing about this, the practice of Zazen, is that it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter whether I'm in pursuit of greed. my place and purpose are still there. Even though I might think, even though I might get distracted from it, though I may not feel it, even though I may feel the pain of my actions, my purpose is still there. This place is still there. This place of meditation is still there. And that is really a blessing. That is, I think, what we could call grace. A free gift that we don't really deserve. But we're lucky to have it. There's a little sign at the Fugen Hermitage on the wall. I think it's a quote from Zen is Eternal Life, but I'm not sure. There is eternal peace, but we must do the meditation to come to know it. Now, again, you might think to yourself, oh, he's a monk, he's got all this advantage to finding eternal peace. Doesn't really quite work like that either. The main advantage that I have really created for myself is the advantage of deciding that I'm going to put the time in to find it. I'm going to put the time in to do meditation to find it. And I think for all of us here in this room, let's look around. Yeah. For all of us here in this room, we have a sense that there is something in meditation that helps us. There is something there that is alive. We may not know it completely yet, but we all have some experience that there is something mysteriously valuable about just sitting down, looking at a wall, and trying to let go of whatever arises in our minds. It's a mystery, but it's there. And so it really is a matter of the effort that we put into it, And in a sense, I'm finding out lately, it does have to do with regular formal meditation practice, but it's also what we do with our minds during the rest of the time when we're not doing formal meditation practice. It's really whether we decide to get all involved in what's going on around us or whether we decide to cultivate mindfulness and stillness in our daily activities. And in this regard, the form makes very little difference. Very little difference. You can be a monk and miss the boat, honestly. Yeah, I have to say, I've done it. And I know from talking to various people that there are lay people who know a lot more about this than I do, honestly. And I'm humbled by it. So it's not really a matter of what your form is, because the very act of meditation is letting go of form. It's going beyond form. We do ourselves a great service by making use of form, making use of our daily habits, our daily practices, the steady application of formal meditation, the periodic coming to retreats. This is greatly helpful, but forgive me, Rivermaster Mann, but as Rivermaster Mann very wisely points out to the novices here, it's not enough to just do the form. It's not enough to just practice according to the form. We must really give ourselves to meditation. We must really allow meditation to do what it will with us. And we can have faith in what Kazon teaches. Meditation brings us right to the place of Buddha nature within us. we may not see that. We may not know it. We may not have the kind of experience of it that is described in the books and sutras. But it's there. It really is there. Don't take my word for it. Prove it true for yourself. Now, of course, the difficulty of meditation, and as I say, it's not for the faint of heart, is that we, in doing this meditation, we will need to look clearly at what is actually going on in our minds. We will need to look clearly at what is actually going on in the world around us. We will need to look clearly at how people treat us, people have treated us. And this is not an easy process. This is not simple. But it is worth doing. Because the reality of life is the reality of life. What else would we want to know? I mean, if we're not really kind of exploring the reality of life, you have to ask yourself, where am I? Even if the reality of life is pleasant, unpleasant at the present. So, for me, I have to look at my greeds and kind of look at where they lead and look at what they've done, feel the fruit of them. It's not pleasant. This is, in a sense, what we're talking about here is called is wisdom. It's the practice of wisdom. The word wisdom, I think, is kind of interesting. The word prajna is kind of interesting. Prajna, wisdom. Sorry, my brain gets a little addled. The word prajna, I just read recently, means before knowledge. I mean, the word prajna comes from two Sanskrit roots, which put together mean before knowledge. So the wisdom of the Buddha is pointing to that place within us which is before what we know. It's before our ability to kind of figure out things, our ability to, you know, kind of have the right answer. And this is quite encouraging to me because Reverend Master Hario kind of recently was talking about something in which he described meditation as being in the place of not knowing. And the kind of neat thing about not knowing is that it really, again, lives within us, but it doesn't impede what we know. It doesn't get in the way of what we know. So we can live in this place of not knowing, this place of meditation, and know something in a different way, in the way of not knowing. I just throw that out there to say that part of what the thing about meditation is, we have to be willing to go into and be in that place where we don't really know what's going on. We don't really know the correct answer to things. We don't really know whether we're doing the right thing or not. We just sit still and do nothing. So, before knowledge. Again, I'm telling you this because when we approach our cushion, we can just go there and be there. We don't have to be anybody in particular. We don't have to be anything in particular. We don't have to know anything. We just have to go there and do the meditation that reveals eternal peace. So that's what I have to say today. Thank you for bearing with me. Please be well.